Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. This is Stacey Gottsoulias. Did I say that correctly? Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. It's clearly Monday because my mouth isn't working. I'm Stacey Gottsoulias. I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm what you would call a lapsed baseball writer. I wrote for Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times. My work has appeared on ESPN. It's even appeared in some magazines, but now I'm a full-time podcast host. And this is Locked On Yankees. We're here 5 days a week. We're on YouTube. If you're looking at me, you know that. We're also on Apple, Google, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can subscribe, you can listen, you can do all that good stuff. So now that's out of the way. Let's discuss what we're going to discuss today. Like the Yankees not doing what I wanted them to do this weekend against Cleveland. In fact, they were embarrassed by Cleveland. We'll talk about that. We'll preview the Texas series, which begins tonight. We'll talk about a big player returning. The news just came out before I started recording. We'll talk about that. And I'm going to briefly talk about an important man in my life who would have been 80 years old yesterday. So let's get into it. The Yankees against Cleveland. Good Lord. It's bad enough they lost 2 out of 3 to Cleveland. That's bad enough. But the fact that they were outscored 22-4 in Saturday and Sunday's games. And not only that, Sunday was started by Gerrit Cole, who only gave up 2 home runs. It felt like he gave up about 5, didn't it? It did. He gave up 7 runs. After declaring before the game that the Yankees know all these games are important, they're going to play like it's the playoffs, he said something to the effect of, we all need to pitch better, we all need to hit better, we all need to play better defense. And what do the Yankees do? What does Gerrit Cole do? You can't have your ace do that. Not when you need to win every game. Now, the Yankees will be helped slightly by the Rays and the Jays playing each other right now. But Boston has a pretty easy schedule. They're playing the Mets before the Yankees. So, the Yankees, they need to take care of business against Texas. So let's get into the numbers from Saturday and Sunday. We'll talk about Friday too, because, hey, they won Friday's game. You know, good for them. I said it before these 9 games against Baltimore, Cleveland, and now Texas. They needed to win at least 7 out of the 9. That's not happening. So, guys, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to everyone? Seriously. So Friday night was a good game because they won. And not only did they win, they shut out the Indians, which you're thinking, pretty good. Hey, 8-0. Corey Kluber looked good. And then Saturday and Sunday happens. So let's talk about Friday. Let's talk about Kluber. 6 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Michael King, I don't think enough was said about him coming in. Kluber and King did what they needed to do. They pitched 8 scoreless innings, rested the rest of the bullpen because the bullpen has been run into the ground. King pitched 2 innings, had 3 strikeouts. Lucas Lecky came in, pitched the 9th inning, got a strikeout. Yankees win 8-0. As for the offense, it was 8 runs on 11 hits. They had a big 4-run inning in the 7th inning. Gallo hit 2 home runs. Judge hit his 35th. Gardner hit his 9th. Stanton hit his 29th. They were 2 for 4 with runners in scoring position. So not that they had many runners in scoring position, but at least they got half of them in. That's always a good sign. And they only left 4 on base. Then we get to Saturday. Saturday, they were only down 1-0. heading into the top of the fifth, and then the wheels came off. It's the only way to describe it. The Indians scored 7 runs in the top of the fifth inning, and the Yankees looked dead in the water. And you're fighting for your playoff lives. You can't do stuff like this. You really can't. I don't understand what this team is doing. It's now September 20th. We're more than halfway through the month, and this team is just looking awful. And the bad thing about it is they scored 3 runs. They lost 11-3. They had 8 hits. Cleveland had their 11 runs on 12 hits, but the Yankees also had 2 errors. One of them was big because, Stanton hit his 30th home run. That's always nice to see. At that point they were down 10-0 when Stanton hit his home run, Voit hit his home run. I can't believe this team did this weekend. And then yesterday's game, as I said, Gerrit Cole comes out, talks the big talk, doesn't walk the big walk. He walked off the mound being booed by Yankee Stadium. And there was some discourse around that. Some people were not happy that Yankee fans were booing Gerrit Cole off the mound. But you know what? We're at the end of the season here, kids. You guys keep talking about how you need to play better. We know that these games are important. We're going to turn the page, do better the next day. And you actually did worse on Sunday. You couldn't even score more than 1 run. Gerrit Cole's line, 5 2/3. 7 runs on 10 hits. 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, 2 home runs. Again, felt like more. It really did. It felt like he gave up 5 home runs. Jose Ramirez, that pain in the butt. He hit his 35th home run. Not shocking. Who else? Oh, right. Roberto Perez. He also hit a home run. And the Indians, let's see. The Yankees pitching struck out the Indians 12 times, only walked them 3 times, but it was all those hits, 16 hits. Not good. As for the Yankees, no walks. The offense, no walks, 11 strikeouts, 8 hits, 1 run. You can't win ball games that way. LeMahieu had 2 hits. Rizzo had 2 hits. Torres had 1. Urshela had 2. One of them was the home run, the only run of the game. And Higashioka had a hit. Everyone else, nothing. Nothing doing. Not a good showing, boys. Not at all. So does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. The best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required and content varies by package. Hey, Yankee fans. This is Stacey Gotsoulias with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code baseball for Use promo code baseball and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code baseball. You can get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and that's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out at any time to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card from Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Again, that's code BASEBALL. Get Upside. Now, I don't drive, I don't have a car, but that sounds pretty good. Anything that has to do with getting cash back, yeah, that's a good deal. I think you all should do that. So let's preview the Texas series, which I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going to say it. You know what I'm thinking. If you watch this podcast, listen to this podcast, you know exactly what I'm thinking that the Yankees need to do. Will they? That remains to be seen. So tonight's matchup is AJ Alexi. I'm assuming that's how you say his name. It's Alex with a Y at the end. He's 2-0 with a 3.68 ERA and 14 and two-third innings with 14 strikeouts. He was born in 1998. That's young. Let's see. He pitched 3 2/3 innings against Houston on the 13th, gave up 6 runs in those 3 2/3 on 4 hits with 4 walks and 3 strikeouts. So those 4 walks apparently came back to bite him there. He did have a good game against the Angels on September 6th. He pitched 6 innings, only gave up a hit, didn't give up a run, walked 2, struck out 7. And against Colorado, he pitched 5 innings, didn't give up a run, only gave up 1 hit, walked 3, struck out 4. He got the win in the game against the Angels and the Rockies. So he tends to walk people. And as I said in the previous segment, the Yankees did not walk yesterday. So maybe they can walk at some point tonight. He'll be facing Nestor Cortes Jr., who I've been talking about being one of the MVPs of the 2021 season, especially if the Yankees can get their stuff together and somehow make the playoffs. And that just means making the wild card game at this point. Cortes is 2-2 with a 2.60 ERA and 79 and two-thirds innings with 87 strikeouts. Again, every time I watch this guy, I don't understand how he's doing it. He would be the perfect type of pitcher for baseball like 25 years ago. Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. All those steroid guys would probably be bashing the baseball, you know, 400 feet because he doesn't throw it that hard. But the movement on his ball just seems to fool everyone. Like, you think they're going to just bash the heck out of his pitches. And sometimes, you know, he'll give up a home run every now and then, but it's not like he's getting crushed by anyone. And I can't figure out what it is. He doesn't have crazy movement on his ball when he pitches, but he just, it's like, where did he come from? It's unbelievable. I mean, I know where he came from, but you know what I mean? It's just what he's doing is pretty special. So hopefully he can put the kibosh on this losing streak and keep it at 2. We'll see. In his last game against Baltimore, he went 6 1/3, gave up 1 run on 3 hits with 2 walks and 11 strikeouts. We know how that game went. Against Toronto on the 9th, he pitched 6 innings, only gave up 2 runs on 6 hits, no walks, 5 strikeouts. And against Baltimore again on the 3rd of September, 5 2/3, 1 run on 4 hits, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. So he did really well against Baltimore his last start and had nothing to show for it. But he's just unbelievable. I love Nestor Cortes. So do his teammates. If you notice, they have the nasty Nestor t-shirts. He wore one. I said this the other day. He wore one in his post-game press conference, which I thought was the funniest thing ever. Tomorrow, or Tuesday, because today's Monday, Jordan Montgomery against Dane Dunning. Okay. He's 5-8 with a 4.28 ERA in 107 and one-third innings with 103 strikeouts. In his last 7 games, he's 2-2 with a 4.45 ERA. He pitched, 2 innings against Houston on the 15th, 1 inning against Oakland, 4 2/3 against Boston back on August 20th. So there seems to have been an injury there at some point. And seeing how he did against Boston, I'm not surprised. 4 2/3, 5 runs on 9 hits, 1 strikeout, 1 walk. He got the loss. So let's see. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to do that. That's too much. But he started off the season pretty good. You know, doesn't pitch a lot. So I don't know if he's an opener or if they just don't keep him in long. Because he's usually pitching 5 or 6 innings. So yeah, we'll see how that goes tomorrow. Jordan Montgomery. 5-6 with a 3.63 ERA, 144 innings on the nose with 149 strikeouts. Let's see, 5 2/3 in his last game against Baltimore. Oh, right. Yes, that's right. Him and Nestor Cortez Jr. did the back-to-back games with Nestor had 11 strikeouts. Poor Jordan had 12 strikeouts, nothing to show for it because his offense did not score for him. It's not the first time they've done this. There was a month there that they didn't score for him from June to July. Yeah. Oh, Jordan Montgomery. And that was only in 5 2/3. Against the Mets, he only went 3 1/3, gave up 5 runs on 7 hits with 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. Actually, that's kind of funny. His 2 starts prior to that start against Baltimore, against the Mets and Baltimore also on September 4th, combined 11 strikeouts. And then that one start, the last start against Baltimore, 12 strikeouts. So he was looking really good. And then again, the offense didn't do anything for him, which is the story of his season and why he's 5-6. It's not completely his fault. So that stinks for him. Hopefully the Yankees will do better. And then on Wednesday in the finale, Corey Kluber, who the last time he pitched against the Rangers threw a no-hitter in Texas, that would be a nice repeat performance. I don't think that's going to happen, but still, it would be nice. He will be facing Taylor Hearn, who's 6-5 with a 4.52 ERA in 93 2/3 innings with 87 strikeouts. Let's see. He is... Ooh, okay. His last start against the White Sox. Sorry, I didn't mean to make that face, Taylor Hearn. I hope you're not watching this, but that wasn't a good face. Because in his last start against the White Sox, 3 1/3 innings, he gave up 7 runs on 8 hits with 3 walks and 4 strikeouts. Now, he got the win against Oakland in the start previous to that. He pitched 6 innings, gave up 3 runs on 5 hits. And then the start before that, he pitched 7 innings against the Angels, gave up 3 runs, got the win. So I would prefer the Taylor Hearn that made an appearance against the White Sox than the one who made the appearance against Oakland and the Angels. As for Kluber, I already mentioned that he did really well in his last start, gave the Yankees innings that they needed, and hopefully he will build upon that in this start against Texas. They need every win that they could get. We need Corey Kluber to just come out and remember that he threw a no-hitter against these guys. How many months ago was that now? Almost 4 months ago. That's crazy. Anyway, guess what time it is? It's time for me to talk about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone? And when you talk to someone who loves Built Bar, like me, they're passionate about their favorites. And if you don't know all the flavors, well, you're just missing out. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite, mint brownie. If you listen or watch the show, you know I gush about that all the time. It is so good. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 of the 9 flavors. Just try them out, figure out what you like, and then just order the flavor that you want. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and they all taste really good. If you go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. As I say, get the mixed box, figure out what you like, figure out what your family likes, and then you can get boxes of whatever you like. Again, go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. So, okay. I mentioned in the opening that I was going to talk about someone important in my life. The reason I'm a Yankee fan, the reason I love this team so much, even though they've been torturing me the past 20 days or so, is my dearly departed father, Gus Gatsoulias, who would have turned 80 yesterday. Now, I don't know actually if he had made it out of the hospital when he was in 2014, if he would have actually made it to 80. But I like to think that he would. And just thinking about him being 80. That's kind of crazy. He was 70. He had just turned 73 when he passed away. But he's the reason why I like the Yankees. He was born in the Bronx, would go to Yankee Stadium as a kid, would see all the cool guys from the 40s and 50s. My dad was born in 1941. And his mom would send him with a lunch in a paper bag and give him, now I can't remember how much it was to sit in the bleachers back then. It was probably like a dime, something crazy like that. And he would go there with his friends because he didn't live too far away from the stadium. He could walk there from where he lived. And yeah, so because of my dad, I am the crazy rabid Yankee fan that I am today. And I like to tell a few stories about him when I talk about my dad and Yankee games. He was very calm. I would always be freaking out if we were at games together. He would always assure me, they're going to win. They're going to win. Don't worry. It's fine. You know, one story is we went to Dwight Gooden's no-hitter. Now, obviously, we didn't know that Dwight Gooden was going to throw a no-hitter that night. But I had just gotten back from school. I just finished taking finals. I was emotionally drained. And I think I got home the day before. And that Tuesday, it was Tuesday, May 14th, 1996. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go to the game. And my dad said to me, okay, you don't have to tell me right away. Just let me know if you want to go. And then we'll go. So I didn't let him know until really late in the day, like 5:30, because I think it was a 7:35 start back then. And we ended up going. My mom didn't feel like going. So it was me, my mother, my brother, and my father. And we, for some reason, gave our ticket to Freddie Says, the guy that used to bang the pan all around the stadium. Rest in peace to you, sir. And we ended up seeing a no-hitter. And it was around the sixth or seventh inning. People in my section were saying, did you notice the scoreboard? Like, do you see what we're seeing on the scoreboard? And the funny thing about it was everyone was afraid that they were going to jinx Dwight Gooden. So people would mention it and then other people would admonish them and be like, no, don't say it. And people were crossing themselves and trying to like get all the negative juju out of the way. Cause people are so funny when it comes to no hitters that you think you're going to jinx someone if you mention that it's actually happening. And the fact that he threw a no hitter against the 1996 Seattle Mariners, if you weren't around back then, or if you were a young child that doesn't remember the 1996 or 1995 or 1997 Mariners, look at the lineup that night. Look at the players that didn't get a hit. Now, a bunch of them walked. He had a bunch of walks. It was that kind of a no-hitter. But I still, to this day, it's 25 years later, I don't understand how Dwight Gooden of 1996 pitched a no-hitter against that Seattle lineup. And when the final pop-up happened, it seemed like the ball was in the air for 20 minutes. Everything felt like it was in slow motion. And then I believe Jeter made the catch, right? And they're carrying Gooden off the field. And I'm just standing there staring, excited, because I realized I witnessed a no-hitter in person. And my dad looks at me and he says, are you glad you came? I said, of course I am. Hello. My second favorite story that I like to tell, October 15th, 2001. Yankees Athletics, Game 5, Yankee Stadium. It was a Monday. My dad calls me up at work around noonish. And he says, Stace, you want to go to the game tonight? And it felt like it took me 10 minutes to answer that question. Because in my head, I had all these thoughts thinking, do I want to go to Yankee Stadium and embarrass myself? What if they lose? What if they're eliminated and I start crying in front of strangers? I don't want that to happen. And then I thought, well, what if they win and I don't go? Then I'll be really angry that I didn't get to see a series clinching win. So I said, yes, I'll go with you. So we go to the game. And it just so happened that the seats were the same row as my normal seats, my Sunday tickets that I had. And like literally right next, like I was in box 623 every Sunday. We were in box 625 right there. So the view was basically the same as I would see every game on Sunday. And my dad, you know, anytime anyone on the A's got a hit, I'd get mad. Jason Giambi annoyed the hell out of me that day. He was 4-for-4, I believe. He just kept getting hits. And my dad was making jokes like, oh, he's showing off for Steinbrenner because Steinbrenner, you know, they're going to get him. And I'm like, no, they're going to keep Tino. Okay. But I was nervous because it was an elimination game. And especially with the way the series started, with Oakland winning the first two in Yankee Stadium. By the way, I was at game two and they lost. And that was another reason why I was afraid to go to game five, because I didn't, like, as I was saying while I was telling the no-hitter story, I felt like, what if I'm the jinx? What if they lose again and it's me? I won't be able to go to a game again. And it was just me and my dad that night. And it was a really good experience because, you know, he was the first person to take me to my first Yankee games. He took me to a doubleheader in August of 1983. Yankees swept the Blue Jays. I saw a bunch of home runs. I saw Ron Guidry pitch a complete game. And I fell in love with baseball even more because I'd watch it on TV. But being at Yankee Stadium is a different experience, and especially at that age. And being with him at that playoff clincher and being able to experience it with just him by ourselves, well, along with 55,000 other people, just was really great. And I miss him a lot. And I wonder how he would react to the 2021 Yankees. I think he'd be annoyed. Actually, no, I know he would be annoyed. He'd be very annoyed. He used to get very impatient when guys weren't pitching. You know, when pitchers are trying to avoid someone hitting the ball and they get all cute and they're trying to avoid the strike zone. And, you know, especially against guys who don't even hit that well, that was one of my dad's biggest pet peeves. He would just yell at the TV, throw the ball over the plate, you know. So when I watch certain guys do certain things, I think in my head, what would Gus think? And I really, you know, I'm bummed that he never got to see Aaron Judge. He would be amazed by all these big guys coming into the league. Because, you know, as I said, he passed away in 2014. The last game that he really watched and understood what was happening before he got really sick in the hospital was when Brandon McCarthy pitched, I believe it was a complete game, right? And he won 3-0. It was like August 21st, 2014. And the night that Jeter walked off at the stadium, my dad had a very bad fever. I was there with him that night. And Jeter hit his double in the first inning. And my dad pointed at the hospital TV, so he kind of knew what was going on. But by the time the walk-off happened, he was asleep. And I had to be quiet, so I couldn't yell as much as I wanted to. I tweeted in all caps on my phone, but I couldn't make noise because my dad was asleep. So to this day, I can't watch the Jeter walk off without crying, because the next day my dad coded and then a week later we had to take him off the machine. So that's what I think of. So yeah, the big man would have been 80 yesterday, and I miss him every day and wish he was around for this, because you know what? If my dad was still alive, he would have a section on this podcast called Gus's Gripes. We had talked about this years ago. I always joke that if I did a podcast, I would have him on with me and we would have a section for him where he would just get to complain about everything that bothers him. And yeah, I miss that guy a lot. I mean, we had issues, obviously, because father-daughter stuff. But if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't have been writing about baseball. I wouldn't be podcasting about baseball. I wouldn't be doing anything. So thank you, Daddy. I love you and I miss you. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can watch this show. I always say subscribe, but you can watch it on YouTube. You can listen to it in Apple, Google, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on the Yankees and baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We'd really appreciate it. By the way, I completely forgot about Luis Severino. He's being activated, but he will not be starting. He'll be coming in relief. Will this help the Yankees? We'll find out soon. So enjoy your Monday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. We'll be right back.